Hello, welcome. It's time for Atomic Radio Hour, the post nuclear podcast. I'm your host, Vince. I'm back after a small hiatus. How are you? Some new things have been going on here. I've upgraded. I actually have a decent editing PC and not just my laptop that I was working off of for forever. I've been gone for a minute, and I just want to start off by saying thank you for your patience. Thank you to the Patreon, which I'm going to get into a little bit later, but I'd like to thank them real quick because there are people that stood around during this small hiatus. They stood around for quite a bit, actually, while I was getting things in order. I don't remember the exact... Actually, let's look it up together. I don't remember the exact day that was the last time we saw each other. It was 3 months ago, this is saying. The last video that went up was a Fallout New Vegas debate, episode 346. Welcome to episode 347. And that was on April 19th, 2025. So I'm back. I'm recording this on August 13th. So almost 3 months exact. I'm recording this August 13th, 2025, in the year of someone's Lord. Welcome to the program. Thank you for being here. I hope you guys are well. I hope you guys are happy. I hope you guys are healthy. A lot has happened in the time that I have been gone. It was a nice little vacation, to be honest with you. I miss doing this. This adds a very routine part to my week. And now that I have everything set up, I can't wait to edit something on my new rig here. I'd love to tell you the specs, but to be completely honest, I didn't put this thing together. I had a friend put it together. But I've been gone for so long, I actually missed the anniversary of Atomic Radio Hour, which I believe is July 15th, so I missed it by about a month. This is 7 years, so this episode is probably called Baby Frank's 7th Birthday. This is 7 years of Atomic Radio Hour. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you a billion times over. Shout out to the Discord. Shout out to the Patreon. Shout out to anybody who's watching this, whether it's your first time, whether it's your last time, or somewhere in between. Thank you. I want to continue to make the show. I know I had to take a little hiatus, but if this little hiatus meant nothing else, it means that I'm coming back bigger and stronger and better than ever. I would like to stream every now and again. Just giving you a heads up for what you might be seeing. The only thing is, I need to find some time. I'm real, real, real busy all the time, always. And I need to find some time. Also, I should be moving sometime soon. So if you see a dip in an episode, you know, enough housekeeping. Let's talk about some fun stuff. I am going to Fallout Day. I'm going to New Vegas Day. I'm going to be at the Pioneer Saloon come November 14th, 15th, and 16th, which is the event, which is the con, the festival, the meetup. If you're going, please leave a comment below. I would love to say hi. I'd love to say what's up. I will be wearing this hat and these glasses, and I will probably have on a jacket. I know it's in the middle of Nevada. It's actually in southern Nevada, but I'll have on my Tunnel Snake jacket. Please come say hey if you're there. I'd love to. I don't think I've ever met anybody who listens to my stuff. So it'd be really cool to meet somebody and just say, hey, talk about Fallout for an amount of time and then see where we are. I'm going to be there. I hope to see you there. I have a feeling this is going to be huge this year because they made us pay, which I'm not upset about because it's a convention and something will probably go on the Fallout shelf if they give me like a lanyard and a badge. It's going up here. But I'm really excited to go. This is the fourth year and I haven't been able to go pretty much ever. The first year I found out about it too late. The second year was not a good time for me. The third year I was in Japan. Now the fourth year I'll be there. So I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to meet everybody. Can't wait to see all the things. If I'm going to try to record something while I'm there, and I'm just going to kind of see how that works. I'm going to see what's going on, but hopefully we'll be able to meet up and talk or something in person and get to look at these things that are real that we've played in game a billion times before. You know what? Before we get into anything else, I gotta shout out the live audience. Tonight in the live audience, we have the one and only Willie DeWitt. Thank you for being here, Willie DeWitt. Thank you for being patient with me on my bit of a hiatus. If you would like to be part of the live studio audience to watch these episodes get recorded live, please check out the Patreon. There's a link in the description below. I'll get into that a little bit later. So much has happened in the time that I've been gone, especially when it comes to the Fallout sphere of things. We have a pseudo-release date for the show being sometime in December. And also, just the other day, I saw that Jones Cola, it got leaked that they're doing a Sunset Sarsaparilla, and there is a grape, a Nuka grape on the way, if I remember correctly. I like how no matter how long I've been gone, no matter what has changed, there's still difficulty. On the tech side, especially. I'm sitting down for this one, which is not something I usually do, but I hurt my back because, you know, nothing ever changes. I hurt my back the other day at the gym doing deadlifts. My buddy at the gym helped me move and learn how to do a bunch of new stuff. And hurt my back, threw my back out. Haven't done it in a while. Did it this time. I don't remember the last time I did it, but that's why I'm sitting. Next week, hopefully I'm not, because this green screen keeps wanting to schmoove on me. Anyway, so many new things have happened. The Bakersfield trailer, it looks great. To be able to play Fallout 1 first person. The week it happened, I wasn't here. Elder Scrolls Oblivion got the remake remaster treatment, and I gotta be honest with you, not a game for me. I wanted to talk about it with you guys as it happened, but I really didn't have the opportunity because everything kind of shit the bed all at once. I like drive a different car now. Like, a lot has happened in 3 months. There's so much good Fallout that is on its way. The event is happening. I also have a feeling that the event in Good Springs is going to be one of those things where something either gets announced or something happens. And I can't say that to be certain. I just have a feeling that there's going to be like a group of people there that are the first people to hear or see something. Again, I have no way of proving this. Not a single, no way in hell do I have a way of proving any of this. I just have a feeling. I also kind of have a feeling we're going to get a shadow drop of either Fallout 3 or Fallout New Vegas remake, or both remake remaster on October 23rd. Again, cannot prove that, but it was talked about that it was leaked that was supposed to happen, and now we're at a point where it seems like it might be able to happen sooner, maybe rather than later, but it's one of those things. We never truly know until we're there, and that's really kind of a dumb thing to say. You never know until you're there, because, yeah, of course you don't know till you're there. You idiot, you're there. All right, let's get into the thing that I think we've all been waiting for. Let's get into the lore. I've missed the tradition of looking up lore. I've looked up the tradition of writing something down and then presenting it and then having someone to talk to about it. But before I can get into that real quick, I have to thank the Patreon. Because of the Patreon, especially in these past few months, there's been some people who stood around and helped support it. And there are some people that I have to thank. And starting from the tippity top, I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you to Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you to Mellow Millhouse. And last but certainly not least, I have to thank Danish Hound Dog. Thank you to Danish Hound Dog. If you like the show, if you want to support, check out the Patreon. There's a bunch of different tiers. One of them lets you get into the studio audience where you can watch these episodes get recorded live every Wednesday night. I talked about Patreon a little bit in the beginning. I'm talking about it a little bit now, but let's get into the meat and the potatoes of the show, of the Fallout program. Now, normally I'll go on Patreon and I'll ask what people want to hear, but I always like to do something special for the year anniversary and every increment of 50. And this is one of those where I want to do something special. Also, this is my first time editing on a new rig, and I have to learn how to do it again. It's not something that's going to take me a whole hell of a long time to learn how to do again, because I already know how to do it, but I have to give myself somewhat of a... Okay, good. I have to give myself somewhat of a break because I have to learn how to do it on a new computer. It's probably exactly the same as it was before, as it will be in the future and in the past and everything else. Probably. I have to like triple check though and make sure. So I wanted to give myself something fun, something kind of light, and something that I can really, really mess with. This computer runs Fallout 3, which is not something my laptop ever did. So hopefully I'll be able to bring more Fallout videos just in general. There's a bunch of stuff I want to do. I have a bunch of plans. Anyway, for this week's lore, I wanted to talk about something that I think everybody is interested in, at least to a small capacity, and that is the Desert Rangers from Fallout New Vegas. Now, the Desert Rangers from New Vegas, what's so interesting about them is that they're a group of people that started off on their own using basic survival tactics and other skills that they were taught from where they once were to where they are now, to the point where I wish we could see them before they integrate with NCR. But what we have in front of us is a culture that's so ingratiated. And I can't help but think that the whole way that Caesar would take these tribes and get rid of their culture and meld them into what is now the Legion, I can't help but think that maybe the Rangers were supposed to be a play on that. And again, this game famously only got 18 months of development. Maybe this was lost in that translation, in that dev time. The Desert Rangers are the descendants of surviving communities out of the Nevada Badlands. So Nevada, most of what some people consider flyover country, even though I never did, Nevada, Utah, Colorado, all of that didn't seem like flyover country to me. That like real Midwest, South Midwest of the United States never seemed flyover. Wisconsin, all of these surviving communities that live in, even Raul talks about how Arizona used to be really, really bad before Caesar came through. And Cass talks a little bit about it as well, as how like Caesar comes through and yeah, they're awful, but they kind of cleaned up in a weird way, Nevada and Arizona, or excuse me, just Arizona, and how, you know, so here's these areas that are really, really underdeveloped and really, really affected and just nothingness. And the Desert Rangers kind of show up and have the skills and the know-how to fix these issues, to fix these problems. And they kind of take it on their own to do such a thing. Some of these Rangers can trace their heritage all the way back to the Texas Rangers. Now, the Texas Rangers were originally founded in 1853 and then dissolved after the first American Civil War. And by 1935, they were reinstated into a part of the Texas Department of Public Safety. They're essentially cops. They're essentially higher than state troopers. Post-war, these Rangers still exist. They take all of these skills that they have and they prioritize raising, building community based on these skills, based on these ways to live and form lives accordingly. Now, there's a Desert Ranger you can meet in Fallout 1 named Tycho. He's a potential companion, and in 2161, he's a Desert Ranger that's taken refuge in Junktown's bar, the Scum Pit, that Gizmo runs. And I have a quote directly here from the game, and I got that off of the Fallout Wiki, or the Nukipedia, if you will, fallout.fandom.com, where I get all of my reference material for these videos. What Tycho can say to you if you ask him a question about it is, "We Rangers hail from back east, what used to be called Nevada. Our heritage stretches," mind you, this Fallout 1 takes place in California. "Our heritage stretches back to the days of the Texas Rangers. We learned survival and combat skills in order to go out into the world and have chance of surviving and making it better." According to Jesse Heening, a programmer for Fallout, Jesse Heening, Tycho was a nod to the Desert Rangers of Wasteland. Obviously, that history didn't wind up in Fallout, so that makes it more an homage than anything else. Originally, the idea came from east of California in the Nevada area. His family comes from people who survive the devastation when war happened, likely living among the Badlands of Nevada. As I envisioned it, Tycho learned a lot about desert survival and whatnot from this small community, which kept a strong survivalist contingent. So they had some small arms books. They probably had something like the cliff-dwelling Indians going on for their town. I never fleshed it out. Now, these Desert Rangers have unique armor, and you do get to get a piece of this rare armor in Honest Hearts. You can find the Desert Ranger armor, but if you find it in-game, it's just the regular NCR Desert Ranger armor that has become kind of like the mascot, the NCR Ranger combat armor that's become kind of like the mascot of the game. Every game kind of has its own mascot power armor. And I know how that kind of sounds, but hear me out. Fallout 1 is T-51. Fallout 2 is tribalized T-51, and then T-45 for Fallout 3. And then, you know, Fallout 4 is T-60, and in a weird way, 76, again, for me, in my mind, is T-51 because it came for the collector's edition. The point I'm getting at is this armor is the armor that you know. And again, it kind of plays into that assimilation thing I said earlier. Is this a culture that assimilated into NCR that because of their assimilation, they are kind of forgotten about? There's not much that's said about them. The Rangers grew and eventually came to blows with Caesar's Legion in Nevada and Arizona. The Rangers had significantly more power, weapons, and armor than the Legion, but the Legion had numbers to throw at the Rangers. So the Rangers were way more equipped. They were way better stocked. They knew what was going on. They could fight. They could hold their own. But the Legion didn't care. They were just like, screw it, go. Just throw as many people. There's an old saying from World War II, I forget where I heard this, that the German tanks were worth as many as 4 American tanks, but the Americans always had 5 tanks. So they could just throw more at the enemy. And that's essentially what Caesar's Legion is doing here, to the point where they needed backup. They needed someone to help them. And that's when the Desert Rangers sought refuge within NCR. In 2171, the Desert Rangers, looking for this help, signed the Ranger Unification Treaty. The NCR took on these Rangers. The NCR takes in the Desert Rangers, and because of them doing that, they also say they're going to protect Hoover Dam, New Vegas, and Southern Nevada against Caesar's Legion. This is the building point of Kimball's War. This is where it starts. This is becoming a growing threat. The Legion is becoming a growing threat, and to the point where, you know, the first Battle of Hoover Dam isn't until 2277. So another 6 years from this. But again, to do this along the Long 15, they've erected the statue, which you've seen, Long Dick Johnson. This is made, in my mind at least, a giant F you to the Legion to say, we're now stronger than ever. This thing that you were defeating, we've now taken on, and now we're stronger for it. Again, something else I'd like to read. In the year 2271, the Desert Rangers of Nevada and Rangers of the New California Republic met at this spot to sign the Ranger Unification Treaty. And this giant statue, there's a unification plaque that's there, and I want to read the quote directly to you. In the year 2271, the Desert Rangers of Nevada and the Rangers of the New California Republic met at this spot to sign the Ranger Unification Treaty. Under this treaty, the Desert Rangers agreed to be absorbed into the NCR in exchange for NCR's protection of Hoover Dam, New Vegas, and Southern Nevada against the forces of Caesar's Legion. And according to the Fallout New Vegas official Game Guide Collector's Edition, page 390 and 391 on the Mojave Outpost, this place where the Mojave Outpost now stands was originally a checkpoint between California and Nevada. After the war, it stood empty and vacant for well over a century. 10 years ago, the NCR Rangers and the Desert Rangers of Nevada, who have been dwindling in numbers, met at what had become known as the I-15 Mojave Outpost to establish terms of the Ranger Unification Treaty. In its current form, Mojave Outpost serves as a link between NCR and Mojave Wasteland. Again, this is another... Tandy's dead at this point, but I can't imagine that Tandy wasn't thought of. The great unifier that she was. The pragmatic genius of politics and rebranding and what have you that she was. I can't help but think that she wasn't thought about quite a bit when it came time for this. This is an FU. This is an FU to the Legion. This is the FU to anybody who wants to get to the cons, to the powdered gangers. Anybody who wants to get in the way, this is a monster FU to you and to them and to your friends and your family and any kinfolk you have. Because here's this fabled Desert Rangers that are known for just being better manned and being a militaristic force in a way, And now the Legion is, or excuse me, now the NCR is working with them. Now they are directly a part of it, and there's nothing to be gained other than knowledge at this point. So, in 2281, veteran Rangers of the Republic all wear similar combinations of clothing to distinguish themselves from the NCR Army and the other Rangers. Additionally, a monument was erected at the Mojave Outpost to commemorate the signing of this treaty. It's a culture that is bled into and has melded, but it's only a generation, it's only one generation away from being bred out. It's already been about 10 years when we get to it. From 2271 to 2281, it's been 10 years. So a lot has changed, a lot has happened. And I can't help but think that there are some veterans that are in there that have been putting in some real work, but also eventually it'll get bred out. That's what I'm saying when I say this this feels to me like a little nod, a little reference to what the Legion is doing, that there's this. Now, remember how I said the power vacuum a little bit ago? This is non-canon stuff, and I say it's non-canonical stuff because on the Fallout Wiki, it says citation needed, and I don't know how canon this actually could be, so I want to read it verbatim from what is on the website. This turn towards the west also saw the withdrawal of the Desert Rangers to Nevada from any other remaining outpost, including Utah, and this is where it says the citation is needed. This had direct consequence of emboldening warlike tribes into the region, such as the White Legs, who thought an alliance with the Legion would sack and destroy New Canaan. So again, I'm not sure how much is there, but you know, you do a net positive. No good deed goes unpunished, especially when it comes to the New Vegas world, especially when it comes to this part of the wasteland. This is what you're kind of left with. The Rangers, again, I know every time I talk about New Vegas, it seems like, oh, this game just needed an extra 18 months of development. Bop, 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 blah, 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 blah. Whatever. I could sit here and say it all gosh damn day long. That's about it. I love the Rangers. Again, it's the mascot of the series, Fallout New Vegas. The mascot of it is a ranger. Anytime I see a courier, he's wearing ranger armor. Just one of those things. I feel like if I see any other Fallout, they're wearing a vault suit of some kind. But this is the Desert Rangers, and that has been this week's lore. This feels good to be back, man. I've missed this. I kind of like sitting down. I might buy a green screen stand. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the third segment. The third segment of the show. Top three segment. I gotta stop using that one. I'm sorry. So hey, again, I have to give myself kind of a pass on this one to make sure that the editing is okay. But I had a theory thrown at me at work. I didn't switch jobs, but I did not switch jobs. I'm just doing a job that's a little more physical now, so it's a lot more moving around. And I actually work with people now that I can talk to. My one friend that I work with hits me with a hypothetical, and I'm a slut for a hypothetical. And he looks at me and goes, so you're given $10 million, but it was specific to me. He goes, I'm giving you $10 million, but everything you love about Fallout past Fallout 2 never happened. Because my favorite game is Fallout 3. So he goes, everything from 2 and onward never happened, but you get $10 million. Are you taking the deal? And I sat there and I really thought about it, and I was like, yeah, I'm taking the deal because I could fix it. Because if that means Bethesda never bought Fallout, I could buy the IP of Fallout for $10 million. And even if it's more than $10 million, mind you, this is long dead. The last one came out in 98. And that was it. And it's been almost 30 years. I can buy the IP. And even if I can't buy it for $10 million, I can go take a business loan and use my own money as collateral and go, well, you know, or put down $10 million and then get, you know, $60 million back. I don't know how money works. I don't know how loans work. What are you talking about? But it's one of those things where it was, I could take it. And then I was like, oh, everyone's still alive as far as I know that worked on, except for like, geez, I'm so bad with names. There's a few people that worked on Fallout 3 that are no longer alive. I know that. But like Josh Sawyer's alive. Chris Avalon's still alive. Emil's still alive. I could gather a team and just go, hey, Josh Sawyer, don't ask me how I know this, but I know you made a Fallout New Vegas, or you made a Fallout D&D game. Hey, man, look, I own this IP, so I get final say. Here's this. You take this. And who knows, maybe because of their new life experiences, maybe they've had more kids, maybe they've been through hardship, maybe they had a parent die or a partner die or been cheated on brutally. Like, they've learned these things. Maybe the game gets even better. And I'm also going to give them more than 18 months to develop the friggin' thing. But I'm saying, like, you have all of this. You have all this knowledge. And then, you know, I could go to Bethesda and go, look, I have this. And I think this would be big. There you go. You do with that what you will. And then I'd say, like, look, I could shop it around to other studios. You know how we're going through how many years of no Fallout anything that isn't 76 or the mobile app, Fallout Shelter, or, you know, no mainline game, no remake as of right now, no remaster as of right now. Who's to say that I don't go in and change things up and make it where, okay, we're going to get a Telltale style game. We're going to get a point and click adventure. We're going to get this one. That's, you know, don't oversaturate the market, but you have what you have. And then I take all the money I'm going to make from that. And then I do what I really want to do, which is make a kaiju movie where it's actually a guy in a suit and not just all CGI. I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. Thank you for having me back. It's a pleasure to be in the house that Gulman built once again. I'd like to thank some people. First off, the intro to the show is by the one and only Shane Ivers. Thank you to Shane Ivers for his song Feather Duster that is playing right now. If you like the show, consider checking out the Patreon. There's a link to the Redbubble. There's a link to my Twitter, the show's Twitter, Kyle's Twitter. Check us out on YouTube. Follow us wherever podcasts get uploaded and you can listen to them. I'm trying to remember if this is everything. I want to thank the chat for being here tonight. I love you guys. You're all fantastic. Happy 7 years. It's been a ride. A lot of ups, a lot of downs, and a lot of good has happened in this past 7 years. I don't know what... The fucking green screen. I don't know where I would be without my little piece of the internet. I love you guys, and I'll be seeing you soon. Tip your waiters, or waitress, or whoever, or wait them. I love you, and I'll be seeing you next week. Bye, everybody.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Gulman Entertainment Production.